Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And how lovely to see so many of you this morning. Wow. Am I ever going to manage everybody's names? We will see. But it's wonderful to come together and worship God. And I've just realized that I don't have an order of service. Thank you. It's okay, got one. I usually check through the intimations before we start, but yes, a very warm welcome to all of Jigsaw and your leaders back for your first service of 2020. We've really missed you. It's been ages since we've seen you. And some of you are just so much bigger, I don't recognize you. This Wednesday, we've got our ecumenical service in St. Mary Magdalene's Church. That's the wee Catholic church, sort of at the back door of the school. So that starts at, it's sort of 7 for 7:30, but it's a wee bit flexible because I haven't actually spoken directly to the priest. So we're kind of working blind a little bit. So I would come at 7 because it might end up starting at 7. Musical memories, do fill in your slips. And the retiring offerings for last year at each Holy Communion added together to £105.95, and that went to Just Trading Scotland to help farmers in Malawi, and we got a lovely thank you letter from them for that. Mainly music. Our parent and toddler group is back on a Tuesday morning. We have a wonderful time engaging with young families, and it's lovely to see some of our mainly music graduates here in Jigsaw. It's really great. So if anyone's interested in coming to help at Mainly Music or just coming along to have a bit of fun, we have the most wonderful songs. And well, as one of our helpers said, that they get stuck in your head and you end up singing them all week. So you'd be very welcome. Tuesdays from 10 till 11:30. And I think all the other intimations are as printed on there. Anything I was meant to say, Margaret? No. There's usually at least one thing I've forgotten, isn't there? It's when Margaret forgets as well that we're a bit stuck. So we are gathered together as a church family to worship God. And it struck me that today our church family is really beautifully bookended in that we've got our youngest member, Jacob, up at the back, and we've got our oldest member, Mary, in the middle, and we've got everybody in between. So what a wonderful day to be praising God. God is love. We can only love one another because God first loved us. And his love is a perfect love, which drives out fear. He considers every one of us his beloved children. He doesn't have any favorites, but if he did, we would all be his favorites. So it's wonderful to come together and worship him. We've got some verses from Psalm 40 to start our service today. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set his feet on the rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. I jumped to verse 11. This one. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. Amen. So coming to church is the time that we try and focus our eyes on God. So our first hymn speaks about that. It's number 567, Focus My Eyes on You, Lord. Hymn 567. Now, as I said, it's so good to see you all back, and some relatively new ones. Now, can I get everybody's names right? A real challenge. I'm going to start with the one that I often forget, because we met you at the Christmas Nativity service, didn't we? And you lit the candles for me. We've got Lucas and Jacob. We've got two Jacobs in church. Did you think I was meaning you when I said you were the youngest? No, there's a wee boy right up at the back there with his mum. He's called Jacob as well. Jacob Drew. So, no, I wasn't accusing you of being the youngest. And then we've got Callan. And we've got Andrew. And behind Andrew, we've got Jennifer and Katie. And then we've got Noah. And we've got Laurel. Takes me a minute. And we've got Curly Caroline. We've got two islands, Aaron,
yes.
And Lewis.
Yep.
I'm going to say not Harris, Lewis. And we've got Jack, because you've got your name on your forehead. Well, I always visualize it with it. And then we've got Rory. Is that right? And we've got Ewan and Ewan. A matching pair of Ewans. I'll confess, when I came through the hall earlier and I glanced and saw Ewan, I actually thought you were Jack, because you've got so tall over the holidays. And of course, we've got Jacob hiding at the back. You two are trying to confuse me. I thought you might have been. Yeah, I just got that feeling. So it's really lovely that there's so many of you here today. And I wonder if any of you said to one of your friends, come along and see what church is about. Have you ever done that?
No.
No. No, it's always been mums and grannies that have said, come. Do you think you might have done, Ewan? Well, supposing you did, supposing you were at school and your best friend, you thought they would really enjoy coming to church to Jigsaw, and you said, come and see, what would they see when they came? Yes, you were.
Jigsaw.
Yes, Rory, you get in before your brother.
And he's younger than me.
And? He's younger than you.
And he's taller than me and I'm smaller than I'm younger than me.
And he's taller than you and you're smaller and you're younger. But you're not the youngest, are you? Because you've got a wee brother as well. So what were you learning last Sunday in Jigsaw? Let's try and see if somebody else knows you. Yes?
When Jesus was little.
when Jesus was little. Wow, so you're not stuck in Christmas. You're not still doing the Christmas story?
No.
Okay, so what did Jesus do when he was little? Yes, Jack?
Carpenter.
He was a carpenter. Well, his dad was a carpenter, so was he helping his dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been, I love the smell of wood. I would love to have worked with wood. Yes, did you learn something else, Ewan?
He has bones because he doesn't have books back then.
They didn't have books, did they? So instead of a book like this, they had scrolls. And how did the scrolls work? Can you? Yes.
So they opened them up, so they had to get to a closet beside it, and then open, and there was a bit of paper in the middle.
They opened them up, and there was a bit of paper in the middle. So which way did they read it? Either that or like that. You could do it either way when it's a scroll, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you don't like that, you need to do really small writing if you're in
the You would have to do really, really small writing if you were doing it that way. Isn't that great? Anything else you learned last week? Yes, Jacob. No, it's Lucas, isn't it? What did you learn last week? You've forgotten. You're just exercising your arm. Oh, Andrew. And Jesus helped his mum in the kitchen as well. Wow. And do all of you help your mums and dads as much as Jesus did?
No way.
No way. Oh, dear. Say again. You play
dad
your computer and you play with dad, do you?
Yeah.
And you stop dad helping mum. You play football with dad, but he keeps winning. Oh, you're the good footballer, aren't you, Jack, in here? Well, we're going to listen to
it.
Does he rugby tackle you as well? I think we've heard enough. Maybe just as well you don't all have microphones on. So we're going to hear a passage from the Bible in a wee while, which speaks about Jesus saying to people, come and see. And it made me really think about whether we invite people to church and say, come and see, and whether we invite them to our homes and say, come and see. And it's good to hear that you're doing so many exciting things. And maybe sometime you will think about saying to someone at school or a friend, come and see. Because we are all one big church, aren't we? I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. It's a favorite hymn, isn't it? With all the actions. But we'll have a word of prayer first. And then I want to encourage you all to come out to the front and help me with the actions. Okay? I'll teach them. They're very easy. Don't worry. Don't worry. Be happy. Let's pray. Loving, living God, we thank you so much for our Jigsaw children. Lord, we are so blessed, so privileged, so fortunate to have children as part of our church family, from little Jacob all the way up through the older ones. Lord, we ask you to bless each and every one of them today and every day. We thank you for all that they were learning in Jigsaw about how Jesus as a little boy helped his dad as a carpenter, helped his mum around the house, and how in the church, in his home, they didn't have books, but they had scrolls which they read God's word from. So, Lord, we thank you for all the lessons learned and for all the opportunities to say, come and see. And let's say the words that your son Jesus taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, so the actions. I am the church. You are the church. When it comes to we are the church together, we shake hands. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. And then it's yes, we are the church together. So at this point, we link arms. Come up, Jack. We link arms and we do a wee dance. Very embarrassing. You can do that. Will you come and help me do that? Right, we'll let Audrey start playing, and then if you all want to come out, and we'll dance up here, and we can even go up and down the aisles. And come on, you folks, let's all do the actions. I think the kids deserve a round of applause. Well done. And now you're going to go off and learn something more about Jesus. Oh, wonder what you're going to learn today. It's exciting, isn't it?
I want to learn God's grandfather.
You have fun. The door is really, really stiff. The door. door swollen with the weather and it's really difficult to open. Oh, there we go. It's quiet. And in the quiet, let us come before God in prayer. Loving, living God, you are the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, and we are here to worship you, to bow down before you and give thanks for your grace so freely given, your love so generously shared, your peace so abundantly spread. Lord, you give us all that we need. You are faithful, and you call us into fellowship, into friendship with you. Why, Lord, are we so reluctant to trust you and to receive all that you offer? Why do we hang on to old memories, refusing or unable to fully forgive? Why are we so easily distracted, finding it hard to focus on you for even 10 minutes a day? Why are we so determined to see our failings, our weaknesses, our darkness, instead of allowing your light and love to shine in and transform us? Lord, it's because we're human and we need help. Lord, help us to trust and receive. Help us to forgive and forget. Help us to focus on you, the light of the world, and allow your loving light to heal and transform us, creating something beautiful from our scars. And may your love and faithfulness always protect us, feed us, and water our growth. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come now to our Bible readings, we begin with one from 1 Corinthians, and this is going to be the first of six or possibly more readings from 1 Corinthians, most of them consecutive. So in this first reading, Paul is setting the scene. And it's a lovely reading because it's all full of the positive things and all the build-up. But as we'll find out in successive weeks, he's building the people in Corinth up ready to show them where they're going wrong. But for today, let's enjoy 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the first 9 verses. Rina?
Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. John testifies about Jesus. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave his testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.'" John's disciples follow Jesus. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus said to them, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what Jesus had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translated is Peter.
Amen, and may God add his blessing to these readings from his holy word. Thank you, Rina. Our hymn before the sermon fits with the theme of coming and seeing and following. "Will you come and follow me if I but call your name?" It's hymn 533. Let us pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. Come, and you will see. I've got a slide for come. This is a stained glass window, I think I've shown it to you before, which was in the chapel of the convent cum hospital in which my friends and I stayed in Nazareth. And I just found it such a powerful image. It's in Latin, veni sequere me, which means come, follow me. But I thought it would be a good image to look at as I speak about coming. John's Gospel begins very differently to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Today's reading is used in this season of Epiphany, the season when we have these lovely green covers, because it reveals the Epiphany, reveals Jesus for the first time. On the first day, we heard, John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It's interesting that in John's Gospel, there's no mention of repentance. In fact, by calling Jesus the Lamb of God, he directs us to think of the Passover lamb, which was not a sin sacrifice, but rather marked deliverance or saving of the Jews from the Egyptians, the beginning of the Exodus. And John the Baptist himself says, "The reason I came baptizing with water was that he, Jesus, might be revealed to Israel." And yet on this first day, Jesus says nothing. His appearance, his presence is enough. John testified to what he had seen, experienced, and therefore knew about Jesus. And that's the task of every preacher, not to big ourselves up, but to point people to Jesus. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he again said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And that was enough to encourage John's disciples to leave him and follow Jesus instead. I wonder how many preachers would be happy if their sermon led people to leave and go somewhere else. I think as long as they were going to Jesus, I for one would be delighted. Now, in response to those two following him, Jesus turned round and asked, "What do you want?" So I want us to take a few minutes now to imagine that we are one of those, Andrew or the other one, following Jesus. Because we are Jesus' followers. That's why we're here in church today. Let's all imagine seeing Jesus turn towards us and ask, "What do you want?" What is it that we're looking for? What are we longing for? What are the deep desires of our hearts? And what do we, each one of us individually and all of us together as a church family, want from Jesus? Let's hold these questions and any answers in our hearts, share them with Jesus, and share them with each other. Let's talk about it. But to return to the reading, John's two disciples, who are about to become Jesus' disciples, their reply was, "Where are you staying?" Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but I've always found that a very strange answer. But on a retreat a number of years ago, I think I understood a little bit more. We had a time of led meditation, during which we were invited, as I've just done with you, to picture Jesus standing in front of us and asking, "What do you want?" On the retreat, we had a lot more time and silence and space to be in that place. And I found myself lost for words. I found that I really struggled to know what it was that I wanted from Jesus. And then when I got a sense of what it was, I found it incredibly hard to put it into words. So maybe those two simply said the first thing that came into their heads. "Where are you staying?" Or maybe they hoped that if they knew where he was staying, they could go and visit him later, after they'd had time to think about it and figure out what it was they wanted. Now, we're not told where Jesus was staying, whether it was in a stable or a posh hotel, sleeping in a field or in a friend's home. But Jesus' reply, "Come and you will see," reveals Jesus' radical openness. He had nothing to hide. He was more than happy to share his life with two complete strangers. His open, welcoming hospitality shone on me and showed me how much I lack. As a single woman, I'm wary of inviting strangers into the manse. I don't really want people to see how untidy my home is. And I prefer to have a bit of notice so I can hoover and dust, at least a wee bit, and make sure I have some food available. Yeah, I've got lots of excuses. But Jesus didn't. He simply said, "Come and you will see." He invited those two to come and share his company, to see, hear, taste, smell, touch, to experience all that Jesus Christ is. Jesus holds nothing back. And the result of that? One of those two, Andrew, went straight away and told his brother Simon and brought him to Jesus. And of course, we know how important Simon Peter and Andrew were amongst the disciples. Now, we, as individuals and as the church, are Christ's body in the world. Can we be so radically open and hospitable? We collectively, like the church in Corinth that Paul was writing to, we have been given all that we need, all the spiritual gifts or skills, all the practical holiness we need to be Christ's body. And yet, I wonder how comfortable we are in inviting a friend or a stranger to come to church with us, or inviting them into our homes. I'm sure most of you are a lot better than me. And are we confident enough to say, as Jesus did, "Come and you will see"? When people come and visit Fourth St. Paul's Church, they often tell me that they experience a wonderful, warm welcome. And I love you all because of that. But only God is perfect. Sometimes I overhear gossip and criticism within this building, and that makes me very sad. Sometimes I know there are people sitting within the body of the kirk who have fallen out and not yet reconciled. And that's very sad. And sometimes, too often, we are all guilty of judging others and ourselves. So let's keep working and encouraging each other to make Fourth St. Paul's more open and welcoming to everyone. Remember the words Jesus spoke, and this is from John chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35. It's also a hymn. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Today, just as in first century Corinth, people need to see God's love in action, in us, so that they can begin to grasp the wide frame of God's faithfulness. They need to see how much we love one another in everyday life, through thick and thin. As our world faces massive issues that exceed our ability to solve in a generation, climate change, this horrific culture of violence, division, competition for natural resources, we need to share the good news that we have. Now, as then, our hope rests upon the concreteness of our daily partnership with Christ, our lively response to God's call to practical holiness in our particular context, and our empowerment by grace to embody God's love all the way. Come, and you will see. Amen. We'll now continue our worship with the giving of our offerings. Let us pray. Lord, you have indeed given us all that we need. All that remains is for us to be open enough to receive it and then share it. So, Lord, it is with grateful hearts that we bring these our offerings, that we come ourselves to worship you. So we ask you now to accept these offerings, our worship, and our lives, and use them for the growth of your kingdom, here and forth and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. And one of the wonderful things that I have learnt through my journey of faith is that God calls me just as I am. I don't need to sort myself out before responding to him. He'll do that. Just as I am, without one plea, you call us, come to me. Hymn 553. Let's come before God in prayer once more. Loving, living God, we thank you for the sunshine and blue skies, for frosty mornings and crisp, clear air. We thank you for the rain so badly needed in Australia, and pray it will continue to fall and extinguish the fires without causing too many floods. We thank you for our church family, from baby Arthur up to Mary Carruthers and everyone in between. And we thank you for all the gifts you have given us to be shared and used by our church family to spread the good news of your love, faithfulness, grace, forgiveness, and peace to everyone we come into contact with. Lord, today we have looked at your summons to come, and you will see. So we now invite you to come and see the hidden parts of our lives, the wounds we hide, the fears we deny, the pain we live with. Lord, shine your light into our hearts and heal us, transform us. Make the hidden parts beautiful, the wounds open to allow your love both in and out. Our fears brought out into the open, faced and named, and so brought down in size. Our pain admitted honestly, shared with you, and gently soothed and healed. Lord, we now ask you to come and see all the people and situations which we worry about today. Help us to trust you to share our load, for your yoke is easy and your burden is light. In silence, let us name those that we worry over and care about. Lord, thank you. And we ask you to come and see, as we stop and say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Lord, we ask you to come and see, for you already see that in our world there is so much pain and suffering. So much injustice, violence, and disaster. So many situations where one group of people suffer because of the greed and selfishness of others, where life itself is threatened by the climate crisis. Lord, may we always remain close to you, trusting you, and being open channels for your love, your faithfulness, and your peace. Amen. There is a Redeemer. No ifs, no buts. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. So let's close our service with hymn 559.
Thank you.
now as we go out into the world, may we know that Jesus is saying, come. And may that strength enable us to say to others, come and see. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, remain with us all today and forevermore.